Chris, wake the fuck up! Chris, Chris, wake the fuck up!
Tyler, what the fuck?
It's happening! It's happening!
Tyler,
One
what's
more
happening?
time!
No, Tyler, please, no, Tyler,
Yes!
please, Tyler,
We're doing
no!
it, you bastard!
No,
We're
Tyler!
doing it!
Tyler, please,
We're
I
back!
retired! I
We're back!
retired!
Three-point
Tyler!
range!
Hey.
You gotta do the rest of the intro, Tyler. This is your responsibility now. This is like,
oh,
this
I'm
is
just
like,
gonna sit in. I'm just
this is
letting it
like
sit
when
in for a
you...
bit.
This is like when you get a kid a dog, you know what I mean? You gotta take the damn thing out. You gotta edit the videos. You gotta
You gotta
remind me
feed
what we're watching. You
it.
gotta feed it. This is your show now, Tyler.
And what show is that?
Hey everybody, and welcome to 3-2-1 Bench. Again.
So enthusiastic.
I can't believe it.
Welcome back. That's Chris. He's
That's
still
me.
pissed off.
I can't believe it.
Alex, who is basically our actual host at this point,
Oscars,
and me,
man.
Tyler.
Oscars, our classic Oscars
Yeah, what better way to come back than doing an Oscars episode? The one Chris hates the most.
the ones I always fight against because Tyler wants to do five different Oscar episodes to cover every category, and I tell him that there aren't even enough weeks in the month for us to do that, and he just refuses to listen.
But this time.
But this time, we're back with no schedule, ladies and gentlemen. This is how he hazily convinced me. He got me drunk and he made me sign paperwork and he said, "Chris, don't worry about it. There's no schedule anymore." Rather than having to grind everything out for a week, we
Yes, I
kind
have
of
the
are just
paperwork
gonna.
here. It says instead of a no schedule, it's a never ending. It's just constantly live streaming. Only Chris, though. Only Chris, though.
24/7,
Yeah.
24/7.
24/7, constantly re-upping contracts in perpetuity.
There's also an NDA you signed,
I
and
signed
you should
several
not be
NDAs.
talked about this.
Yes, and now we have to
You
take him out
stop talking
back.
about it.
We gotta
Yeah, I
take him
feel
out back.
like this is all intentional. I feel like if you take me out back, I can't do the show. I think, did I win?
Well, you
Okay,
don't
you're
know what the
back.
other room is, Chris. It could be way worse. We could just force you to watch Team America again.
It's 4-3-2-1 binge. I have to watch four movies a week now. I'm in the other room. That's what you've done to me.
But yeah, we're back. We're doing this year's Oscars. It's not five episodes, it's four, which is one more than it used to be. So fuck you, Chris.
We
had to
had to
But
meet in the middle, except I'm still kind of losing because I was the one who met in the middle for three.
is it losing if it's this year's Oscars and it's actually all very good?
I hate when you make a good point.
Yeah, consistent as hell.
Yeah, and our Oscars correspondent Alex is here.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah,
It's the same old me for like the past 3 years.
since this is an audio only show, I want all the Oscars, all the
All the
viewers to
Oscars, yes.
imagine all the Oscars and our viewers to imagine that Alex is a golden man. He is an actual gold-plated individual who shows up every year to talk
In
to
the
us
suit,
about
in the suit. He has
in
never
the
left.
suit.
Yeah.
We only he does,
Wait, no,
it's completely
he's frozen in
unprompted.
carbonite every year. He's just frozen in carbonite, and then we take him out.
They unfreeze him and unfreeze him for the Oscars episode.
I'm in every branch. Like, I'm a voter, so my opinion matters the
Oh, God. All right.
So,
Tyler, you want
yeah.
to start us off?
Yeah,
No,
we
wait.
started. No, I mean, like, I'll just recap. Yeah, we're doing the Oscars episodes. Four of them instead of the normal three, which means our new feature was animated. So we're having fun with some animated movies at some point. We're also doing, best actor, actress, director, all the fun stuff. And for the first row, we will do the well, we're gonna talk about every category, but it's best actors. Who's up first?
I
It's
am.
Alex.
All right. So the first movie, guys, is The Holdovers. And this is a 2023 American Christmas comedy drama film directed by Alexander Payne. It stars Paul Giamatti as a strict classics teacher at a New England boarding school who is forced to chaperone a handful of students with nowhere to go on Christmas break. It also stars Divine Joy Randolph and Dominic Sessa. And that is essentially the cast, which is amazing.
Yeah, that trio really just holds it together.
Well,
Yeah.
I want to say, whenever we saw this trailer in theaters, I had
You had a very different reaction than
a
me.
visceral negative reaction. It
Me
felt like,
too.
right? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you,
Listen,
Alex.
listen,
I'm the only one
listen.
who liked the trailer.
No,
Apparently.
okay. When I watched it in theater, I was like, this is the most boring thing I've ever like encountered as a
It's like a
trailer.
5 minute, it feels like a 5 minute trailer. It goes on for so
Yeah,
long.
it
It
goes
feels
on for
like,
so
as
long.
a kid, I had a lot of VHSs. It feels like this was a trailer that would randomly play at the start of like a garbage VHS from 1997. Like I'd be watching the movie Virus, and this trailer would play, and I had no interest in seeing this movie. I had every interest
Me
in insulting
neither.
this film. I
I'll have same
wavelength. And then my reaction to the trailer was, oh, okay, it's a throwback to those old types of trailers. Like, yes, it is that. That's what the trailer is.
It is.
It's a throwback.
Yeah.
And the movie itself is, it's not really a throwback to anything, but it's just a very cozy and very simple movie that's like, oh, this is very nice. And it totally is a Christmas movie.
Yeah. When me and Tyler talked about it, I described it as that weird nebulous place between Christmas and New Year's where nothing really makes sense. It's like you usually have off a little bit from work, but not entirely. Like most people are off from school if they're younger and stuff, and it's all just very hazy. That's kind of the vibe of this movie.
I mean, it captures the limbo between like school and like a holiday and then back to school. Mm-hmm. And it does it really well. It does it in a very nostalgic way, it does it in a tasteful way, and then there's actual like rootable characters, and it's really simple for like an Oscars film, but I feel like it's even better because of it. So
it is. I mean, Alexander Payne, I've only seen the one of his other movies, Nebraska, and that's the premise isn't similar, but like the type of movie it is, it's just, oh, this guy has to do one thing, and it's like, oh, it's just realistic, it could happen to anybody. It's just nice.
Yeah.
And Paul Giamatti is so good in this movie.
He's giving a perfectly subtle performance. Like, he's not acting in a bombastic way, you know? A lot of, like, best performances, I feel like, always tend to be, they have that big show-stopping moment.
Yeah.
The big, you know, every day I wake up and I wish that you were dead type of energy. You know, like, they always have that. But I don't really think there's a moment like that for Paul Giamatti. I think it's just extremely subtly well-performed throughout. And then I still don't know if that's really what he's doing with his eye or if that's a prosthetic, but whatever it is, it's pretty impressive.
It's a prosthetic.
It's a prosthetic.
Give him the Oscar.
It's definitely a prosthetic, but like the fact that I honestly thought that he had a lazy eye or like developed one, I was like, okay, this is a great, like, subtle performance. Like it's something that he just seems like a real person. Honestly, all three characters feel very realistic, so I'm understanding the love that's been given to like both Paul and also Divine Joy Randolph.
Yeah, absolutely.
Randolph is 100% in the. She's gonna win. Like, she won every single award beforehand.
It's insane.
Best supporting actress.
Huh. Yeah. Who is she up against in that category, Tyler?
Emily Blunt, America Ferrera,
Daniel Brooks,
and who are we missing?
Oh, Jodie Foster. Foster.
That's why we're forgetting it because it's fucking Naiad.
It's not a real movie.
Yeah.
What does that mean? It's not a real movie.
It's a running joke that every single year the Oscars will pick. Yes, obviously it's a real movie. And the joke is that people call it a fake movie. It's like, this is the first time anyone has ever heard of this movie.
Yeah.
And every year the Oscars have that movie. And it's like, okay. And then what the hell is this? It's like, if you're so. It's weird every time.
I've only seen 3/5 of those movies so far. So I can't say for all of them. But I mean, I would say, Joy Randolph definitely feels like the front runner opposed to Emily Blunt and America Ferrera. Even though Emily Blunt's performance in Oppenheimer is excellent, as we'll talk about later. I think just looking at that batch feels best. And I know Tati's currently watching The Color Purple, so I'll get to see what she thinks about
Personally like The Color Purple and the performances in it, but I think because the film is just not as well executed, the performances aren't being praised as much. But I do genuinely think, like, if The Color Purple was created better, Daniel Brooks would probably be the front runner here. Because I think Oscars do like that, like, showy performance. And Divine and both, like, Divine and Paul, they both give really consistent performances. And it's so realistic that you feel like you know these people. But they don't have a moment where it's, like, so intense. I mean, there's some for Dominic Sessa's character, and I think there's like one or two for Divine Joy Randolph.
I can think of one.
Her Oscar clip is totally her breakdown at the party. But even then, it's not like a melodramatic and giant like freak out.
It's real. Like, yeah. It's real. Like, I could see her, like someone like her, freak out in that way. It's not as dramatic as Oscars voters usually like. So
yeah.
I think, you know, on top of all the great performances, it also just has a great script. Dialogue's fantastic.
Yes.
And
it's funny.
I was going to say,
this movie is very funny.
Kind of hilarious. I think that the one that I think caught the largest laugh while we were watching it, Tyler, was when he's running around I can't remember the name of the character now, but Paul Giamatti's chasing the student, and the student's kind of like saying, like, "What are you gonna do? You gonna catch me?" And he decides to go and jump on a trampoline in the basketball court, and it just he screams at the top of his
That
lungs.
yeah, this whole sequence is the funniest thing in the whole movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's after it's just I don't remember the character's name is either.
It's
I
Paul. Paul's playing
Paul
Paul.
is playing Paul, I know that, but I Dominic Sessa is playing Angus, I think.
Angus,
Yeah,
and then
Angus.
Divine is Mary Lamb, which is
Yeah,
a
Mary is the only one I remember.
yeah, Mary, yeah.
But yeah, it's like a half hour into the movie, the group of boarding school kids who are stuck there, all of them except Dominic Sessa's character, Angus, gets picked up because his mom doesn't pick up the phone, doesn't give him permission. And
Yeah.
he's just running around the school basically saying fuck you to Paul. And the minute he and he's taunting him with like quotes he said, like, what's exercise? No, what's wisdom without exercise? It's some quote that's like supposed to mean something to Paul, but like he's throwing it back in his face. And then he jumps on a trampoline and immediately dislocates his shoulder, and it's the funniest sequence.
It's so good. I mean, even after that moment when they're in like the waiting room and what's it called? Like they're making this lie and everything,
Oh,
and
his yeah, his Angus's lie about like, oh, I was playing hockey and like my mom's gonna kill him. Don't do this. Like,
right, exactly. It's just great. It's really funny, and it brings them two together instantly. I think that moment is really what brings them like closer initially.
yeah,
So
the bond between them is the movie, and you just
yeah.
it's just really nice to see this kid who it's slowly revealed throughout the whole movie that like. Oh, it wasn't like my fa he lies and says his father died. That's not exactly true.
It's
It's
kind of
just
true.
it, yeah, in a way it's true. It's like he is like his old his
He's
dad he knew
gone.
before he's gone because he has a mental
Yeah.
illness and it's just totally debilitating and like it's the 70s, so that's also another thing to deal with.
Exactly. It's not something that's as common or like normalized either. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
So as that's revealed and how he goes from like just being a dick to Paul and then like the them realizing each other's like faults, like how Paul had could have married somebody, didn't work out, and then how he's just like kind of just lonely, sad, but like very. That's the like that's why this movie is kind of a mean amount of like, oh, Paul is me. It's like, oh, okay, the lovable guy who's like sad. It's like I get it. Everyone wants to root for him.
Yeah,
Yeah.
he's like a sad dog, like a sad older dog. You know what I
Yeah.
mean?
You
Like one of the ones with the long faces.
know how it's
That's
funny
the
how that line comes up twice in these movies.
what line?
Being a sad dog.
Is it?
I mean,
Does
you're
it?
using it to as a quality of Paul in American Fiction. They also use that line.
Oh yeah,
And
wow.
he is a sad dog in that one.
You know, this is these
So.
are actually just three diff really like sad different breeds of dog.
Yeah,
Like
I
Paul's like
agree.
a sad basset hound. American Fiction, I'm not quite sure what breed. I
What
mean,
monk
a
is? We'll
sad
get to that. We'll
bulldog.
get to that.
Yeah, and then like Oppenheimer's like it's like a sad like greyhound, you know what I
Yeah,
mean?
yeah,
Like he wants
yeah.
to
Like a
run. He
sad
wants to run too
husky.
fast, but he accidentally makes a nuke. You know what I mean? He just
Yeah, I hate when that
couldn't hold
happens.
it together.
I hate when that
happens too.
Yeah.
Did you guys know about this one scene where they're in the liquor store? Have you heard about this? The liquor store, they actually went into a real one, and the person who plays like the cashier is a real, like he owns that liquor store.
Oh, nice.
And so they were going to have, actors play and stuff like that, but a last minute change happened and they just did it locally, and this guy was willing to do it, and he did really well, and people like really, really enjoyed his once like
His
one
one
line.
line of "There you go, killer."
Because it wasn't scripted. He
Oh,
just
wasn't no.
said it.
Wow.
And then they kept it in. And then people have been like responding well to it. So now he's like being interviewed and stuff. It's pretty cool. I think
That's
that's
sick.
a really
That's nice.
interesting thing to do. Imagine just like one day just being in an Oscar nominated movie by chance. Like
Yeah.
that's
Isn't that kind of what happened with Dominic Sessa, right?
it
Tyler, where
is.
he
It
just kind of
is.
showed up
This is
on
it.
set.
Yeah. This is Sessa's first movie because they were looking. They were shot at different colleges, and then he was at one of the co like he goes to
Yeah.
school at that
Yeah.
college that they were shooting at, and then he just went to audition.
Fun fact, he's actually from my area, Cherry Hill in South Jersey.
Is
So,
he? Shit.
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
Am I thinking about something else? Did this movie also shoot very quickly? Didn't it have like a rather short filming time? Or I might be thinking about a
I feel
totally
like,
different film.
I mean, I have no idea, but I feel like this type of movie doesn't need to take long. It's just
Yeah.
very, like, if you told me this was filmed in less than a month, I believe you.
Yeah, I would
Yeah,
buy
I'm
it.
not sure. I'm not sure how long it took, but yeah.
Like
I would, yeah.
The only difficult thing in this movie is, yeah, the him jumping on a trampoline.
And even then, like, this shot is, like, well done to, like, not need excessive, like, prosthetic or, like, blood or anything like that. It just, like, happens far away, almost.
Yeah.
So I don't think that took much time either. But
I do want to say
first performance is insane.
Oh, no, he's great in this.
Fantastic.
There's a reason everyone wanted him to get nominated.
In
terms of best supporting actor this year, would I have him in?
Well, what's the alternative, Tyler?
I don't know.
I don't know who the other nominees
are. Here's the nominee. The nominations for best supporting is Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer, Gosling for Barbie,
De Niro
for Killers, Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things,
and Sterling K. Brown.
And Sterling K. Brown for
American
Fiction.
What was the last one?
American Fiction.
Yeah. Okay. I guess.
Exactly. Who? And then you have to include, like, are you putting him over Charles Melton too? Who missed out?
That's also true.
No. Yeah. Well, Charles Melton shouldn't have missed out. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Not.
Like, so,
so
that's
true.
Six people, and like,
yeah.
Where are
he
you putting Dominic
seven.
Over?
Yeah, he's somewhere in the top seven at least. Charles Melton missing out's a crime.
For me, we're gonna talk about this later, but I don't think any of the Barbie actors should be nominated. But
I'm okay with him Gosling being nominated, but after, like, I've seen all those movies and the people that, like, got snubbed, he is good.
He's good.
I think he would have been like the fifth or sixth one. You could kick out one of them.
I would put Charles Metzen over Ryan Gosling.
No, so would I. Yes.
He gives a very strange performance in a great way because it is a very strange character, so to speak. So, like, I do really enjoy his performance. I do like how meticulous it is to be the way it is. I think that Charles is just better. I think Charles just gave a better performance.
I still see Ryan Gosling as he's not transforming into a doll for me. I still see him as him playing a role. But back to holdovers, Dominic Sessa definitely should be nominated despite only having one performance. I think his performance is almost, I think it's my favorite out of the three. And I love three.
I think Paul is the best, not best, favorite, but yes, everybody is great in this movie.
Yeah, all three of them have killed this. Like, I'm glad someone's winning, I hope, for this film, but I'm just glad it's either one of the three, to be honest. It could be two out of three. That honestly could happen.
So I do want to say, great year for movies to get expanded from a smaller kind of limited theater screening to larger ones after they've been succeeding. Apparently, this movie originally only screened in 6 theaters on its opening weekend before expanding to 64 and then 778 and then et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I mean, Godzilla Minus One had a
similar run.
Yeah. Boy and the Heron, I believe, also had a similar expansion.
Yeah.
And I know there's a fourth one that I'm forgetting, but you do love to see
Zone of Interest
small...
finally got a wide release.
Zone of Interest is, it's getting...
Poor Things did too, right?
Poor Things was weird. Poor Things is a weird one. I guess we were included in the limited release window because it got shut out after like 2 weeks and then it came back, so it's weird.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great that these movies that are not blockbuster conventional, let's say, are getting the opportunity to just kind of show what they have and then continue to expand outwards to larger audiences. I'm really, really, really happy about that for the year.
I mean, the ones who are nominated a lot has done pretty well box office, and that's not as normal as it is. Like,
I think well is a relative term, right? Like, I think it's tough. I think right now movie studios are expecting numbers that are not going to be happening for a good amount of time. And it's a bit of a weird place with that.
But
like,
Oppenheimer broke a billion. That's insane.
Oppenheimer and Barbie, I say, are more outliers than rules. Like, if I look at every other, like,
I can tell
Killers
you right
of the Flower
now,
Moon did not do particularly well as a theatrical release.
That one's a different thing because that was an Apple thing. That's an Apple production.
Sure. Yeah. I guess you can make the same argument for Napoleon because of that. But
exactly.
It was still a theatrical production. Like, it did release in theaters. It was still Scorsese. You know what
Fair.
I mean?
Napoleon
I mean,
did pretty well, I think.
Did it? What is the box office?
Like, in comparison to Killers, I think.
So, Holdovers has grossed $26 million as of... I'm not sure. I mean, let me check Box Office Mojo. It might just be easier.
I mean, I can tell you for like a movie like Poor Things, the budget was 35. It currently has 36 mil, and that's like, and it's coming out again like now, so it's gonna get more back.
So 25 to 36 million?
No, even it's worse. 35 to 36.
35 to 36. And Holdovers has made 26 million, and it probably, I mean, it had way less than that as a budget, so it's still like, good money made, for example, right? But then even, Killers of the Flower Moon, that box office was probably was that box is
Pretty
actually
bad.
154 million. But what I'm saying is that these movies have not
Yeah, I
done
agree.
the kind of bombastic numbers that studios are looking for, because studios are still kind of in, I'll call, let's call it in their blockbuster era of box office returns expectations, even though they're constantly getting kicked in the balls by the fact that that's not really how things are going to keep going.
Yeah.
But then you also get some weird shit like Five Nights at Freddy's making 300 million. So
Well,
what the
that
fuck do
one
I
just
know?
has a fan base behind it, so.
I yeah, $300 million worth
And
of them.
Josh Hutcherson's also has a fan base behind
Yeah,
it
yeah.
too.
The collision between Five Nights at Freddy's and Joss Hutcherson made a
Yeah.
lot of money.
Good combo.
Yeah.
Should we move on to American Fiction?
Yeah. Any final
Yeah.
thoughts you have on Holdovers or?
Holdovers is a good movie, and it's I saw it like again the day after with my parents, and it's just nice.
I was pleasantly surprised, so I'm happy about it.
Well, let's. I don't know if we have sponsors anymore, Tyler. So if you do, just interject them here.
I have no
Anyway,
idea. This is
back
gonna be
on to American Fiction.
the first episode back is the bootleg version of like, all
We
right, we
don't
don't know what we're doing
really
anymore.
know what we're doing. Did we ever know what we're doing?
Clearly not.
Clearly not. American Fiction. Monk is a frustrated novelist who's fed up with the establishment that profits from black entertainment that relies on tired and offensive tropes. To prove this, he uses a pen name to write an outlandish black book of his own, a book that propels him to the heart of hypocrisy and madness he claims to disdain. That's a wild description from
That's a
Google.
great
I fucking
description.
love that.
That is amazing.
This is the funniest movie I think I've seen this year
Yeah, funny. I think it's the
by a
funniest
large
movies.
margin. It's like
I
not
think
even
it's the
close.
funniest movie I've seen in theaters. I don't remember crying laughing like this.
This was so good. And we saw it in a rather small, like a rather empty theater. Wasn't particularly packed.
It wasn't packed, but
So
there was a couple people in there.
yeah, a couple people. But I didn't, you don't want to fucking break out laughing in this small theater if you were watching a movie. So I'm like
Especially a
halfway to
small
biting my
theater.
yeah, halfway to like trying to bite myself to be like, holy shit, this is so fucking funny.
I'm glad that the most of the theater was laughing. Like they were laughing. We were
Yeah.
probably laughing harder
Yeah, we were
because
laughing the hardest.
there was a period in the movie. I forgot what was the actual like joke or what was like funny going on. But like we all started dying, quiet down for like 2 seconds, and then kept going because we kept hearing everybody else laughing. We're like,
It was so fucking great. I mean,
it's
and
clever as fuck.
it's clever as fuck. It balances tone pretty much on a dime. You can have
Yeah.
like I think you can have the emotional whiplash of like a great comedic bit and then get hit with Alzheimer's, and it does that super well,
And it
where
works.
it's so fantastic.
the way the marketing for this movie is like sell the whole he's trying to be quote unquote more black in the book. It's like that's what they're pushing in the trailer.
Yeah.
The meat of this movie is the family dynamic. And yes, the tonal whiplash happens very often, and like the first time is when his sister fucking dies of a heart attack.
Comes out of nowhere.
Dude, comes out
It
of
comes out of
nowhere.
nowhere.
I'm
Like,
not I, like I'm just staring straight dead on. I'm like, oh, okay. Oh, her chest hurts. Okay, it's gonna be like an ambulance scene. It's gonna be an ambulance scene, right? And then she's dead. And it's like, what the
oh,
fuck?
she's the second billing in the
She's on
movie.
every poster.
And I'm like, when I watched that, I was like, what? I was like, there's no way she has like three scenes in this whole movie.
And here's the funny thing. That scene's sad, and then the funeral is hilarious.
Oh,
Yes. So funny.
They read her will, and it says, "Oh, if you're reading this, I must be dead. And let's hope I was under the strong thrust of Idris Elba. Or if not, I'll take a sweaty Russell Crowe." It's like, God damn it! What do you,
It
Jeffrey Wright
absolutely.
is reading this. His reaction is like he reads it, and he's like, "God, I have to say this shit. It's the funniest thing."
And then the asshole by the beach is like, "You can't do that here." And everyone's like, "Shut up, you're so
Sterling
annoying."
K. Brown as Cliff is so, I'm
So
glad he got
good.
nominated.
Sterling, I think Sterling is my favorite performance in the film. He
I
is
agree. He's my favorite character because he's
so good
so
in this.
funny.
I love his performance in this. And then even yesterday, me
I'm
and
gonna
Tati
beat your
ended up
ass, Paul.
watching me and Tati ended up watching Honk for Jesus, in which he plays a like a Southern Baptist pastor whose church has been under scandal, and it's like a pseudo mockumentary, and it also balances between kind of like you know, a lot of really good humor, and then like, oh no, this is actually probably one of the more fucked up things I'm seeing today, isn't it? Kind of energy. So it's he and he does it fantastically. He also gives he doesn't
He
actually get it.
deserves.
He doesn't give the best performance in that movie, only because Regina Hall is insane. But he's so fucking good in that, and he's so good in American Fiction. Absolutely earned this nomination. I think looking at the nominees, I think he's probably my favorite, and
For the
that's tough to
supporting?
say. I think so. Supporting seems stacked.
Supporting
It is.
is kind of stacked, yeah. And like, if Charles Bonnet was in there, it would be my favorite.
Oh,
So
yeah. If he
it's
was in there, but
very unfortunate.
I mean, I think for, I haven't seen Poor Things yet. That's the only one I haven't seen. I
You'll
think I've.
I think you'll like Mark's
You're gonna like Poor Things.
performance.
It's gonna be. It's
I
interesting. Right
love Poor
now,
Things.
it would either probably be Robert Downey or Sterling for my number one.
Okay, I agree with that. Yeah.
But it's tied between the two of them. So I
Yeah.
can't say for sure, but I really did love Sterling's performance on this.
I have a gripe with Jeffrey Wright's character.
Oh.
I think his I think his acting is great, but I think the character itself, like towards the end, it was a little too frustrating. Like he seemed more open-minded than he actually was, and I think towards the end, especially that dinner scene with the girlfriend, I forget her name,
Colin.
Coraline. It just frustrated me so much because I feel like I don't know how to put it, but I think his reaction was more intense than I actually would have imagined his character to do.
I don't know about that. He is like a very, I guess pretentious is the right word.
He's pretentious, but the way he like boxes his lies or like his little secret identity, it just felt it felt off. And it's not because of his acting. I think it's just the writing of it. It just makes me feel like, why is this happening?
I think it all works really well because everything we I think a big point of the movie to me is that Monk is a reflection of his father and he doesn't quite realize it. He has a lot of things in common with his dad. He has the same anger that his father has, and he never sees it. He at the one point in the movie he's like, I've been getting more angry, and his brother's like, recently? Because he's kind of always been this way and he never noticed. And that's why I think like he hates this book that he wrote. He despises it, right? Like he feels like he's written this blaxploitation book and he feels like there's nothing real here. And yet the main sequence that we see him write is about a black man meeting his father and being like, I see your eyes and mine, you know, I see those same hands, the same nose, it's all the same. And throughout the movie, he's basically learning that, well, I'm also kind of the same man as my father. For better or worse, I'm very similar. And for all the reasons I thought I was like my father in the best ways, well, maybe that's actually kind of more in line with Cliff. And maybe I have a lot of the more terrible aspects that my father has.
That's a good catch.
Yeah, so
Yeah.
that like there is authenticity in the story that he tried to write poorly, and I think it
Yeah.
reflects heavily on him as kind of like this figure who's become so similar to that man despite not necessarily intending to. So I think it works there. I think it all kind of ties together nicely that he doesn't really know himself
He
and just
doesn't,
how far
no.
he goes with it.
I do like the ambiguous ending too, because like
Yes.
he doesn't know what he's doing, what to do now either, and he decides to kind of go the author he hates route and just let me just sell this, make some money, and then figure it out later. And he does, I mean, like his relationship with his family was already like messed up in various ways, but the fact that Cliff is there to pick him up is like, oh, okay, at least he's working on this part.
Yeah, I think it kind of he has to prioritize certain kind of where he's putting his energy, so to speak, as you know, rather than just being frustrated and angry at this thing that he really can't control. You know, there's more value in repairing the connections with the people that are still around. I think it's interesting because like the last shot is basically him seeing a guy dressed up as a slave for another movie, but then the guy's got AirPods on, so it's like, you know, is it blaxploitation? Probably, yeah. But this person is
But
off.
I'm getting
This
paid.
guy has this guy has a job off of it. This guy's able
And
to
he's
afford
got
AirPods off it, right? He has
AirPods.
AirPods. I have a job. You
That's
know.
like that shot to me was kind of what I think he learned,
Oh,
like
speaking of shots, can we talk
ultimately.
about how beautiful this movie is at points?
So beautiful.
The
Yeah,
shot of him
so
looking in
beautiful.
over the ocean is ridiculous.
So good. I really do like this film, and I think it's actually like stronger the more I like get more time with it. I think everyone did really well, and I think the writing it actually is like it deserves a win if it wins. I don't think it
It's
will,
in
but
it got nominated for Best Adapted. The other movies in there is Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and Zone of Interest.
yeah,
Ooh, that's a tough
it's a
that's a tough
tough
batch.
category, and I think I think it
and,
only
and the funny thing is, everyone's pissed off that Killers of the Flower Moon got snubbed because that's also adapted.
It's Barbie.
Barbie is the
it.
One that shouldn't have been. Yeah.
Yeah.
It sucks because American Fiction might be fourth in my actual ranking of like the screenplay, but I really like it. Or maybe third, actually. I would say third, but.
Yeah, I think. No, wait. What's my first pick for that one? Oh, it's Oppenheimer.
It's Oppenheimer, Four Things, and then probably American Fiction for me.
Yeah, no, that's about right. Zone of Interest is amazing, but that the point of that movie is not the script.
It's not the script.
No.
At least not for me.
I mean, like it's good, but like that's not why you're watching the movie.
No, you're not watching it for the dialogue and the script. That's not what it is. But
you know, American. One thing that we talked about how the movie juggles, like comedy and drama or like serious moments. Can we talk about like his dad killed himself, and the amount of times that it comes back as a joke is so funny,
insane.
At one point, he's on a call. Him, Monk and his agent are on the call with like the people trying to make the movie or the book into a movie, and his agent puts his head, like his fingers to his head, like a gun, and shoots. And he's like, "Oh shit, sorry, your dad, my bad." It's like that line is so fast, and it's so funny.
I mean, like every single aspect of this movie is so smart and fantastically comedic. Like, not just like there's moments like that these bits that keep coming back that you shouldn't laugh at, so you're laughing at them, and it kind of blurs the whole line of the film. And then like the direction's so smart. I think one of my favorite shots, like a little sequences of the whole thing, is when he's hearing the excerpt from that woman's book, and he's just standing there.
Yes.
And he hates it. And then a white woman stands up in front of him and starts clapping.
Yes. And then, that is one of the most funniest like shots I've ever seen.
Oh wait, did you see people on the Reddit that were basically saying that like there's a 3/4, 3/5 joke in the movie because when they were voting who has the best book,
yes.
It's three white guys saying yes, and then out of the five, and it's like,
it was
the three white guys outweighed the black guys, yeah. And they say, oh, we're trying to raise our black voices. Like, you're ignoring the two black people in here.
It was really
saying
funny
that they don't like it. Yeah,
I was sitting next to Fabio, and Fabio said to me, "Well, at least it wasn't a 3/5 joke." And then I looked at the numbers, and I said, "Fabio, it was a 3/5 joke."
It was.
Know,
they just didn't
that's
say.
That's how you know the writer is black, because like the things that they input in there, it's hard to catch if you're not like fully like invested in all of the culture and all of like the past jokes and history. Like the 3/5 joke, like I don't think most white people watching will be like, huh, you know, like you have to really like think about a lot of these things that happen. And I think that's just brilliant. I think that's part of what the film is about anyway. So it's really cool.
Another thing I do like is that Monk has this whole philosophy of like the type of book that the other, I forgot her name. She's played by Issa Rae. Issa Rae's book is portraying, he thinks is like stereotypical, because like her whole book's about like a struggling single mom raising kids with like a deadbeat dad. It's like that typical story. And then she says that, I went out to actually interview people to learn about this and to write it for my book. And it's like, it's not a straight up stereotype. These do happen. This shit does happen. And he's a piss because like I get, because that is typically what people only think about.
Yeah, like he's not pissed because it doesn't happen. He's pissed because it's the predominant story, and he feels like it holds him
back.
Well,
he thinks that Centaur Golden is this person who has never been near any of this type of story, and for her to write this story is just making it worse.
Because she herself has been to like a good college,
Ivy League school.
Yeah. Before that was in boarding school, worked and is now working at like a publishing firm, and is now part of like she
and
has
like,
it all, and he's saying, and he's saying like, how could you write this?
But he didn't realize that she could actually do the work, right? And like not make it as offensive. Like, I'm sure she knows and is aware that this stuff does sell, but she also does it in a way that, you know, she at least talks to the people that she's writing about, whereas Jeffrey Wright's character does not.
it's hard to say if that's better or worse at the end of the day. I think like the movie doesn't take the hardest stance of it.
It leaves it up. It just gives you the two roads and says pick one. Yeah.
Like, you know, like, again, like he's not objectively wrong in that she has not lived these stories. Like, you could say, you know, I've interviewed these people. It's like, okay, What does
Absolutely.
that really matter? Does that really mean anything?
Absolutely.
The way you chose to write dialogue is very clear and intentional, and was
Yeah.
not, you know, no one technically forced you to, right? But also in the same way, no one forced Jeffrey Wright to call this book My Pathology with an F in
Pathology
a
is
very, very
so
specific, very
funny.
specific choice of
You want,
you
yeah,
know,
let's talk about that
verbiage.
scene when he's like, you know what? I want to make a difference to the title.
Fuck.
I thought he was going to call it just the N-word, and
I
that would have
also thought
been.
I thought that's also where it was going.
They
The
would
movie,
not
oh,
be
the first scene in
able.
the movie is a discussion about the N-word, and I thought, oh, it's going to come back. He's going to call it the N-word.
The strangest Chekhov gum.
They would take so much, like the white people who have to, like, say yes to it. Like, there's just so much to, like, not be able to say it. So I'm glad he didn't go that route, because, like, that would have been so funny just to, like, see it
Oh,
plastered
yeah.
everywhere.
Oh, but God, you know, certain white people probably would have loved it even more for that, with
Because they can't
the
get to
built-in, a
say it,
built-in
yeah.
excuse. It's like, I need to know, let you know what
I
book I'm
need to
talking about, because
say
it's
it,
so
yeah.
important, it's so powerful.
Yeah.
I need to say it.
Like, it's
It's
the name of a book. It's
the name
just
of
a
the book. No,
title. It's a
it's
title.
a lyric.
Crispin
It's part of
said
the song. It's part
it.
of the song. All
He's
right.
who's in Paris? Who's in
Yeah.
Paris?
I feel like there's definitely even more jokes that could be written there,
Absolutely,
but
absolutely.
this is an excellent film.
Yes,
Absolutely. It's editing,
it is.
direction, music,
It's
everything's
great.
just 10 out of
The
10.
music's
Yeah.
also good. The score
Yeah.
is pretty good.
The music reminded me of like Manchester by the Sea's music,
Yeah,
and this
yeah.
movie kind of reminded me of Manchester by the Sea just because how it
Is it because it's
balances.
by the sea, Tyler?
I mean, they're both in Massachusetts, yeah.
It's better for me. It's
They're both in
better.
Mass
I don't
They're both
like
in
that movie.
Massachusetts. The score is very like soothing and calm. Both movies are very fun. Like I have ve Manchester by the Sea is funny when it mixes, like, it's way more tragic than funny, but it is funny. This is the opposite way. It's way more funny than tragic, but they
We
both balance it.
have less than a minute, by the way.
Oh yeah, I know.
Oh
I'm trying
God.
to wrap it and see, but you know, I think that's it for fiction, right?
It's
Yeah, we
very
can.
good. Go watch it if you haven't. I think it's made almost no money. So please
Yeah,
go see this
let's
film. Go see this film. It's so good.
please do.
You want to have a funny time at theaters? Get out of here.
Yeah, definitely go see that. So, last movie, Oppenheimer. Do I need to have a description for the movie that 90% of people know of?
Tyler, what if somebody out there hasn't seen Oppenheimer? I feel like it's really just your duty to kind of have to walk them through it.
Oppenheimer is about the J. Robert Oppenheimer, the scientist who was the lead person in making the atomic bomb. It tells the story of making that bomb, also the effects of it afterward. It also deals with not the effects of the nuke, the effects it had on Oppenheimer.
Yeah, that's a very important distinction in this case.
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
the effects it had on him, how he felt after it dropped, and also his whole trial regarding his security clearance and if he was a
Russian spy.
Communist, yeah.
Yeah. This has a lot of content and, like, subject matter that's pushed all into this 3-hour film, and I think it did it really well. That's what I
I
want
love
to
this
start off
movie.
with.
I love
This
this
movie
movie
is
so much.
so dense. It
Yeah.
has so much going
It's
on.
insane. I
I
need
mean,
captions. I
this
need,
is,
like,
you know, it's funny. You need captions, and yet this is one of the only Christopher Nolan movies where
that you
you
can
can
hear
hear,
it.
that you can fucking understand what
And
anybody's
I
saying.
still need the captions because there's so much to say. Like, I watched it like 3 times. The second time, the entire intro, I was like, oh, like, I'm understanding way
Oh no,
more.
the second you watch it again, it's like, oh, okay, you're seeing stuff, you're connecting pieces more.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that first time watching it and seeing one, the Trinity sequence, you would think, oh, that you see that, it's like, okay, it's amazing, that's the best thing Nolan ever directed. And then like 2 scenes later is the gymnasium scene, and it's like, oh no, that is,
Even better.
yeah.
Yeah.
That
God.
gym
And then
that
the entire act three for me is my favorite. So,
Oh yeah.
like,
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Act three comes
it
together
just
so well.
continues to build, which I think people actually will say it's the opposite. Like,
People, yeah, I've seen people say that they don't like it after the Trinity test, which is still
really,
disappointing. Because
it's
a lot
insane.
of people thought the movie was about the nuke. It's just the nuke and the guy making, and then the nuke was the point of the movie. The nuke isn't the point of the
The
movie. The
movie's
point of the
not called
movie,
Nuke.
yeah,
It's called
the point
Oppenheimer.
of the
I feel
movie
like
is
that's not.
Oppenheimer and how he dealt with it and how like his life,
The bomb is a
and
side plot.
pretty
Yes.
much,
This is a biopic. This is purely a
yeah.
biopic. It's not about much. It's not really anything other than that. It is strictly about the man. I
It's
think
insane.
it's kind of weird to say otherwise in there. I do
And
want to
speaking
pose
of
a
the man,
question.
Cillian Murphy fucking
Oh yeah.
deserves
Bodies
everything.
it.
Yeah. I
Absolutely
know.
kills it in this
But
film.
yeah, I know everyone was like, yes, the minute the movie came out, everyone said he deserves an Oscar. He does. And then Maestro came out, and it's like, oh, it's going to be Maestro because The Academy likes like typical biopics, and then it kind of died down, and it's now between Paul and Killian. And if Paul wins, if Paul wins, sure, great performance. I'm not gonna be that pissed. It's not gonna be like any of the years.
Have you seen
like,
Maestro yet?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
I have.
Okay, I haven't gotten
many bad things to say about it, but
oh boy.
I've been avoiding it. Yeah, I've heard like I heard it's a good movie, but like for a movie to be not good as in like fine.
Okay.
Like it's not gonna. It's like it's obviously like has good stuff in it, and like technically sure it'll be good, but like I hear for the most part it's like it's whatever.
I you know.
But yeah, if
now that
if
I'm
Paul
hearing
wins it,
now that
Paul
I'm hearing
wins
it's a
it,
mid movie, I kind of want to see it.
I mean, yeah, again, you'll be fine.
I do want to ask a question here. Is this Christopher Nolan's best film?
Yes.
No, not for me.
Ooh, okay. What's your contender?
What is?
Okay.
Interstellar?
Okay, how about this? I think it is the best executed direction from Christopher Nolan. But I think my favorite story and my favorite like film as a whole is Interstellar from him. Yeah.
Fair.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
Before this, I said his best direction was Dunkirk, and that wasn't my favorite.
Interesting.
I didn't say that.
Yeah.
I didn't say that's my favorite movie from him, but I said just direction wise, the way
yeah,
of capturing the tension and like that scene.
Yeah.
That I gave it to him. So.
I mean, I just really love.
But
the fact
yeah, this direction and movie, this is the best.
I love the fact that Christopher Nolan is just utterly obsessed with time. Like,
no matter
movie,
what,
no matter
it's
what
my
movie, he's
thing
so
about
obsessed.
him.
He really loves
My favorite thing about him.
Even if it's not like narratively or thematically relevant to the film,
the
like
movie's
it's,
not going to be played in order.
Yeah, fucking. I mean, like, I think about
Never.
The Dark Knight, right? The Dark Knight Rises. No, the good one, The Dark Knight. Yeah,
the good one.
The good one. You know, yeah, the good one. It's not a hot take. The good.
Oh,
the one
it's
that's
not a
not
hot
bad.
take. It is absolutely accurate
the,
for
the
me.
good one. It's like structurally, that movie has a bizarre pacing that could
Yeah.
only really be like done by someone who feels obsessed with the feel and flow of how things progress.
Yeah.
Like even the movies that aren't relevant to time plays a big influence on them. And this movie is not one that like inherently like time is a
Yeah.
focus in the way that it is for Interstellar or
I mean, the
Inception,
funny thing is
but
the
it
clock
kind of is.
ticking the entire movie.
Because time, Tyler. Because time.
Because
It's all
time.
time, Tyler.
No, Christopher Nolan, it's time and passion. I think that's his like two
Time,
fucking
passion, dead wives.
that's
I
his
mean, yeah,
pillars.
that's the
It's
Trinity.
his pillars, yeah. Wait, what's the third one?
Dead wives. Definitely dead wives.
Dead
Yeah,
wives.
no. I
You
mean,
know
think of,
what?
it's not a
That
dead
is
wife here,
so
it's a dead
accurate.
mistress, but
It's still,
no,
it's
yeah, dead mistress.
you're
It
right. You're
counts.
freaking right.
We count that.
That is so true. Yeah.
There's got to be a dead wife in Dunkirk somewhere.
I'm sure.
Yeah. In the background. But yeah, no, God, Oppenheimer is. What is it nominated for? I'm assuming
it has the most
everything.
It has the most nomination. It has 13. Name anything, and it probably has a nomination.
Okay. I
the
mean.
only one that I wanted to lose is Best Sound.
Really?
Zone of Interest. Zone of Interest.
Okay. Yeah.
The whole point of that movie is its sound.
That's true.
That's a fair point. So you want Oppenheimer sweep?
Wait, do you want Emily Blunt to win?
Oh, wait, my bad. Okay, for the yes, I don't. Emily Blunt probably is not going to win. The main thing with her, like, her character is good.
It's great. But
they got, like, the tag of, like, Nolan can't write women. This one's fine. This one's fine, but, like, a lot of her dialogue before her big scene, which is great, is like, is just telling Oppenheimer to fight back. That's like her only line.
This is Christopher Nolan's best woman. It is an okay woman,
exactly,
which is not a
like,
great sign as a
yeah.
whole, I guess. But it's as much as just a statement.
Yeah,
no,
pretty much.
I don't know if she's an okay woman. I
know
think
she's not, I shouldn't. I say
she's
okay.
She's actually pretty good.
She's good. She's like
she's good, but like
she gets to establish agency in a really great way that like
yeah.
at first appears to be lost on her. But then you also kind of have Florence Pugh's character, who's
Oh, Florence
kind of
Pugh's character is so it's not
she's
well written.
definitely, you know, on the less intriguing side
But at
overall,
the
I
same
feel.
time, don't cut the sex scene. I still hate when people say
No,
that.
no. It
No,
is
definitely not.
integral to the whole
If
communist thing,
if
to
there
the
was
whole marriage, everything.
if
It's
there was
integral.
only if there was only the first sex scene, the I am Death Destroyer of Worlds, then I'd be like, okay, that one alone feels superfluous. But the
But
fact
then
that
the
we have the
second
two,
one, yeah,
that
you yeah.
retroactively makes both deeply important to the film. You
Yeah.
cannot
And
cut
then
a thing, you cannot cut either of them.
then the court, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the
Yeah.
court
Can't
one's
cut
more
either.
important than the first one.
But
It is.
the court one retroactively makes the other one more important.
Oh, yeah,
an audience member who's
the first time
the
we saw Oppenheimer, and he said the line before he fucked her, everyone was like, okay, weird moment.
What
there.
The hell is that? What, yeah,
that's
yeah. I agree
crazy
with that.
pillow talk,
and,
my dude.
But then it comes. No,
I love
I mean,
it.
But then, yeah, the sex scene happens. The
I love
like,
the verbal.
Yeah.
He's really
there.
Amping himself up. Yeah, I'm dead.
Oh, it's great.
I'm destroying your world. I'm going to destroy this
dead.
World.
I am dead.
I'm also not fully
destroy your
that.
World.
There it is. Sitting for it.
I'm not convinced that Nolan can't write women. I'm just not convinced that he can write women as a central character. Like, I don't think he's written bad female characters. They're just never that important. So I wouldn't say it's bad. I would just say he never, like, I need to see him focus on it. Like, I would love to see it because I think it's possibly, like, he can do it.
Yeah.
I think he can do it, and he should. I think that would be a fresh movie for him, honestly.
I think there's
because...
just more fluctuation, right? Like, I think about, like, I think Dark Knight, I think Maggie Gyllenhaal's character, actually a pretty strong character in the film. Like, he kind of fridges her, but she's really good at her all the time that she's there in terms of what she's given to be written. And then I think about the wife from Inception with the funniest editing I've ever seen for a suicide in my entire life.
Oh, how it just drops.
Like,
yeah.
I was like, it cuts to Leo, it cuts to her mid-fall, and it cuts back to Leo, and I'm
yeah.
supposed
Jesus
not
Christ,
laugh.
Yeah.
That's not supposed to be hilarious. But then I think about the daughter in Interstellar.
Exactly.
And she's also, she's
Jessica
pretty
Chastain,
well
all of the actors
so
who played the characters.
There's
really
a lot
good.
Of variance. I think he's gotten a bad rep because some of his earlier work just kind of like
sucks
ignores
for
them.
For women.
Like Katie Holmes in the first Batman movie is kind of terrible as the same character Maggie is. She's kind of. I think she's actually really fucking boring.
What about Ra's al Ghul's
daughter? God.
Talia
al Ghul is also terrible, but also really funny editing on a death scene for some reason.
It wasn't the editing. It's just that he decided to not do another take, and that was it.
He just didn't
wait.
Want to
how do you guys feel
movie.
About how do you guys feel about Josh Peck being in a Best Picture for Oscar?
It is funny. It is very funny
him.
Seeing how
it is
he's
so
in.
So weird. He's in like two scenes, three scenes.
He's in one of the most important
brother.
Scenes with the Trinity.
He is. He literally is the beginner. Like he presses the button. You know.
Yeah. He's in, one of the most important scenes, and also, like, I do love how Jack Quaid is in this, and is like, gives me the bongos, which was a true thing, apparently. That guy did have bongos, but it's very funny. He's like, all right, we need a guy who knows bongos. You,
what
get over
hell?
You.
Jack Quaid. I gotta say, some of the, like, the kind of smaller casting, everyone gets a fantastic
love
moment.
It.
Fucking
love it.
Aiden Elric probably gives one of my favorite moments
so
in the whole
good.
Movie. I fucking love Aiden. I think he gets ignored way too often in everything. He's so fucking good.
He's actually,
this.
Like, he's very, very solid in this film.
Yes.
I really enjoyed his character.
I
loved
great.
David Cromwell's character, his Oppie's friend the entire movie. When he's basically hyping up, it's like, hey, don't
wear
that.
Yeah.
And
he's
he has a suit up moment. Nolan gave him a suit up moment.
Nolan did things that we now traditionally associate with the superhero genre.
Yes.
But it's so funny because of that. Because like this isn't like a movie that came out afterwards and then these tropes eventually were associated with it. This is like right after, this is still now. And he's just like, yeah, fuck it. We're going to do like, yeah, we have a president, Kennedy. John F. Kennedy. We're going to have a car pull out and fucking Albert
Einstein appears.
There.
That was the funniest moment.
We're going to have our Iron Man suit up with a cigar and a hat. And it's like,
so good.
The imagery invokes superhero films. Fucking Christopher Nolan does not want and does not like working on superhero films, but he decided he's just going to reclaim these bits of imagery. And like, fuck it. I'm putting them in my 3-hour long biopic about nuclear weapons and the end of the world. You can't stop me.
Yeah.
Also, in terms of actors, you just are fucking fantastic despite not having too much time in it. Rami Malek kills it. Absolutely kills it
this
time here. Rami Malek's fantastic.
The moment, the movie is basically, the whole movie is a battle between Strauss and Oppenheimer, but the third act is entirely just that. The minute Rami Malek, who doesn't say a word until he's on the stand.
At all, yeah, literally.
He's just there, and then he goes on the stand. Everyone thinks that he's gonna like shit talk Oppenheimer because Oppenheimer was a dick to him 90% of the movie.
He was,
and he's just like, "Oh no, Strauss is the one who's doing all this shit." And then half the theater's cheering.
I mean, it's crazy. You gotta say Matt Damon's in this thing.
Matt Damon,
Matt Damon, Gary Oldman as the fucking president in this, and
yes.
I didn't even realize that when I watched it. It took me until afterwards to be like,
Gary Oldman literally played Winston Churchill and Truman. Just put them both in a movie and have them play both.
That would be fantastic.
But no, yeah, that one scene with Truman where he just basically calls him a bitch, which is a true story.
It's like, don't ever let that pussy back in here.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. Casey Affleck's in this, like as the fucking
Patch.
terrifying nightmare evil cop.
He's in one scene, and that scene's
He
like
did
so
really
tense.
well. He did really
I know you
well.
hate him.
I don't like him, but he did really well, I have to
Yeah.
say.
I
Yeah.
mean, it's the cast is
The
stacked.
cast is great.
Every time someone shows up, it feels like a cameo. It's like, oh, you're in this?
It's a superhero movie, right? Like all these
This is
the
the anti
Avengers.
superhero movie.
Speaking of superheroes, Robert Downey Jr. is
Yep,
my
I was
pick for
just gonna.
best supporting actor.
They're
He
so good.
even with the snubs of Melton and Sessa, he still is my pick.
I mean, he is unrecognizable, and he is honestly a foil to the whole movie, and it's really, really impressive what he does here.
I think
I
that's the
never
best.
expected it.
I think it's the best duo of the year. Like you can say duos are like holdovers. Yeah, Sessa and Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great duo. This is a great duo. I'm sure. Poor Things,
Emma and
Dafoe,
Mark.
and I was gonna say
Oh.
yeah. I was gonna say Dafoe and Mark. Yeah, or yeah, either way.
Yeah.
I really do think, yeah. I mean, the way that Robert and Aiden bounce off each other in there, because a lot of the
That's,
sequences are them
yeah.
together, right? And when
Yeah.
they're talking after the fact, the way they bounce off each other is so fantastic.
It's so tense, dude.
They are
Like,
so good.
not Aiden, Alden's character is insanely, like,
He doesn't have a
really
name.
important.
That's a funny thing. He's not named in the movie. He's just his assistant.
Oh. He's just
He
the
is not named,
guy.
yeah.
He's just a Senate aide, right?
Yeah.
He's fictional.
Oh no, he is. He's the, yeah, they made up this character.
They
I
needed an
mean,
OC in their
we
Oppenheimer
did
movie.
need that though, because like Oppenheimer's not gonna be in that room fighting with him, you know? And, like
Here's the
it's
funny thing. I just realized this. They only share one scene together.
they had that
What?
one round
Really?
table.
Robert
Yeah,
Downey Jr.
it's
and Oppenheimer? I mean,
no, and
no.
okay, sorry, they're
They
talking about
have two scenes. They have two scenes. They
Are they?
have the round table when they're
Oh,
like,
right, too, yeah.
and then they have the school in Princeton and
The
stuff
first
like
meeting
that.
stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean they're such fantastic foils to one another. And it's great
Yeah.
because you don't even necessarily realize they're meant to be
Yes,
foils until the
that's the
third
best
act.
Until
thing.
they're
That's the
yeah.
best thing.
It's unclear on your first watch that they're actually meant they're that this is your antagonist, so to speak.
The
But the
first
word
watch, I was
antagonist is
like,
being super
why are
vague.
we following Robert Downey Jr.'s character for like the first hour and a half? And then I was like, oh shit, like this is really, really like meaningful to have us follow him for this long and then realize this man's about to break his whole life, you know? It's great.
Yeah, just such great non-linear work in the story. It's
Yeah.
all so well. All the performances so good. I really got to give it another watch. I only saw it the one time in theater so far. Not for like lack of wanting to. Just
Oh, I
the time
saw
to
in
watch a
theaters.
3-hour movie is.
I saw it
I
during
mean, it's a
Barbenheimer with you
commitment.
guys, and
It's a commitment.
immediately saw it with my family the next day.
A fair move, honestly, because
And
it
here's one
really
thing we
is
didn't
that good.
mention is the nominee. I mean, the thing that it's 100% gonna win best score.
Oh my God, the score. Holy shit. No, like
Yeah.
who did it? Was it Zimmer again?
Ludwig. No,
It's
it's
not
Ludwig.
Ludwig. It was Lud I always forget. I hear Nolan, I think Zimmer, but no, this is
It's
Ludwig. And
yeah.
Ludwig killed it. This
Yeah.
is easily, I think, Ludwig's best work.
Yeah.
That I can think of off the top of my head at least. It's
Yes, everyone knows like
so
Can
good.
You Hear the Music? Because yeah, that is the piece from this that is the movie that like that's gonna be everything that's being played when it wins. But like
Yeah,
yeah, no, give it to him.
yeah.
It's fantastic score. Definitely the best, I think, out of everything we've talked about.
I think it could win everything except for best supporting
And best sound.
and best sound. Maybe screenplay,
I
perhaps
wanted to win screenplay
adapted. It could lose though.
because it's the way I'm pretty sure the book is more nonfiction. Obviously, the book is nonfiction, but I mean, like, I don't think it's a typical narrative of the book. I have no idea, but
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's not. And plus, it shouldn't be a big deal that he wrote the whole thing in first person, but it is because I don't think anyone else did that.
Yeah, that's true. It is kind
So,
of interesting.
yeah. But no, I do love this movie.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it really it.
We talked about subtle acting, and like that's the entire movie for Killian.
Yeah, no, I mean it's not bombastic. It's just those
And he has to
not
go from being a 20-year-old Oppenheimer to 60 when he,
45-year-old,
yeah.
60. Oh, yikes. Yeah, I mean it's
Or
all about like psycho
whenever he got the
expressions.
award. I don't know when he got the award.
Pretty old, pretty old.
Some of the sequences have been memed on really heavily. Like the one where he's
What, the
like,
ending?
he grabs
Yes.
his face in the
Yeah.
court case when he realizes they're beating him. It's like they've been memed on, but like the expressions that he's making are pretty fucking fantastic. You know what I mean? When
Yeah.
they're not a single screen grab on Twitter. They're really just such fantastic moments he's able to do with his face. It's just I insane. Kind of crazy work he's able to pull off here.
How do, yes, everyone loves the ending and it is the best ending of last year
Oh
for
yeah,
me.
easily, easily.
How good do you think that ending is compared to any other fucking movie?
There are a few that come to mind that can be better. That's kind of a perfect mic drop sort of ending, you know?
I don't, yeah, I think it's a really great ending for this type of movie. Like this movie, I couldn't think of any other possible ending.
You can't, yeah, the way that ends is amazing, and like the way everyone is gonna remember the like I think we did. Oh, I
Yeah,
believe we did.
it's so well done. Just a perfect like encapsulation of the whole film and of what Oppenheimer's like thinking through as a character. And I mean, this is the thing I really love about a good non-linear movie like this. The character arc doesn't really become clear until you see the whole picture, and that includes both in its antagonist with Strauss, but also just like Oppenheimer as a person, what he's thinking about at any given point. It can be muddy to see at first because it's so non-linear. You're looking at this man at different points in his life. He's basically different people at different points in the film, and it's really once you come to the end and you finally learn what he talked to with Einstein and like his grand regret there, that it all becomes clear about like what he is, you know?
Yeah,
He,
do you remember the day I gave those calculations and we
yeah.
worried about if we would set destroy the whole world?
He's as much a villain as anyone else, and he realized it after he'd already done everything. It's too late.
I
He
mean,
fucked it all up.
the character of Oppenheimer and like the way they is portrayed, it's the most, it's so convoluted because like I don't know how many directors can actually portray this type of character the way it does, because there's going to be sympathy, there's going to be, you know, antagonistic qualities to his character. But for me, watching this movie, it's almost like judgment free. Like, there's
It's
so
not,
much judgment, but like at the same
but it's
time,
not in a way that's entirely damning him.
yeah. And that's like really hard to do when you're someone who was, you know, responsible for like so much death and so much like, you know, advance in technology of like mass murder weapons and stuff like that. So I don't know. Like
It's
it
like making
is.
a movie about Pandora, opening Pandora's box, but still making it feel enough, making Pandora feel human enough to be like, you don't hate this person, but dear God, are you very aware, and so are they, that they've probably damned all of humanity.
Speaking of
Exactly.
mythology, how fucking hard was that opening quote?
Which one?
The opening quote to this movie is Prometheus stole
Oh
fire from the gods and gave
yes.
it to the people. For that, he was tarred and feathered for all eternity.
Yeah, that's a crazy hard
It's
line opening up.
completely accurate. He is Prometheus. He is parallel to that mythological
Yeah, I
character.
mean the
It's
book is called that
amazing.
for that. Yeah, the book
It
is called that for
is
that reason.
modern day Prometheus,
No,
right?
American
American
Prometheus. American
Prometheus,
Prometheus,
which
yeah.
is a great title. Like that could have been a really cool title for this movie, but Oppenheimer's more catchier, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think in terms of marketing, if I say, hey, there's an Oppenheimer, and
plus we already have like American, like American Fiction, American
yeah, once you
Sniper,
add
too
American to
much
a title,
American
it
to the
sounds
thing.
cooler, but like it's done.
It's just not. Yeah, this is cooler, I
See,
think.
we could have
So,
called it Prometheus if it wasn't for Ridley Scott. We could have just called it Prometheus.
yeah, but then you're like thinking of like the mythology instead of just like this is a perfect title, I think, because
Yeah,
it's
no, it is
not.
fantastic. It's quick, it's catchy, it's summery. I also just want to point out, I think that the one of the, some of the posters are kind of hilarious in
I
a
mean,
good way.
there's the only two good ones for me is the one where he's just a silhouette walking through a flame,
Yes,
or when he's
yes.
staring into the fucking sun.
Yeah, the one where he's just standing in front of the weird green
With the
screened
hat
bomb with
thing,
the hat is
yeah,
the most,
so
again, it is
bad.
some superhero shit. I swear I've seen another movie with a poster structure similar to it, because it's
It's
so bad.
so hilarious. I'm like, that is not the movie. Like, that's just not. It
Yeah.
looks like he's proud of what he's done. Like,
Yeah.
he's walking away from the bomb, like the Joker after bombing the hospital. Like,
Wild,
what?
a really strange series of posters.
Why?
God,
But
excellent movie though.
okay, so then should we talk about best actor chances between Paul and Killian? I mean, Jeffrey Wright's in the conversation technically, but I would say he's probably
But
third or fourth. Probably
I think I still
third,
think probably
third.
Co I think Cooper probably is third just based off Academy shit.
Maybe, yeah. But what do you guys think? I mean, it's a pretty.
Who are we missing? Oh, Coleman Domingo. No one is here to sell that movie.
No, I haven't
What
seen that
movie is
movie.
it?
Rustin?
Yeah.
I didn't even hear of it.
No, it's not really. It's also like a
It's not
movie that no
good.
one's watched.
Exactly,
Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, I think out of
But I
just the
heard it's
two,
good. I heard it, yeah.
out of just these two, I'd say Killian, right? Like,
Yeah, I would
I
say
don't feel
Killian.
like that's a hot take. I feel like that's actually
No,
an
it's
easy pick
not.
between these, right?
But I
Paul
think
Giamatti's
Killian.
great, but I mean, God, the shit that Killian's doing in here is insane.
I think the worst part about this is it's not about the performance by itself. It's also like, does Paul Giamatti, is he owed an Oscar? Is like, is he overdue? Stuff like that. Where and
I
like
mean, people.
Killian is more subdued,
I haven't
technically.
seen Sideways, the other movie. He like, I think it was his first movie with Alexander Payne, and people love Sideways, and people said he should have been nominated. He somehow wasn't, but like, I don't think Giamatti's at that point where he's like old one. Granted, again, they both deserve it, Killian more so, but I'm not gonna
I
be
think
that
Killian
pissed off.
deserves
Yeah.
it. Yeah, I do think so. I mean, it is a hard character to play. Like the funny thing is neither of them are flashy in their roles,
No.
which makes me feel like Killian should. If it was between Bradley and Paul, like I would give it to Paul 100% because it's just they're two different performances. But Killian plays a very complex character, and his is also a real character. I think Oscars would probably vote Killian. I would hope so, but it's still hard. I think it's between the two for sure.
It is. Again, Wright is great, and the movie is hilarious because he. Again, going through that movie, you think it's a straight comedy, and the amount of stuff Jeffrey Wright has to do between like just acting as that pretentious dick monk, being saddened or confused about the emotional situation around him, or when
Playing
he
the
has to
author.
pretend to be the Stag Ali on the phone half the time.
He gives a
So
fantastic
funny.
performance there. Like you said, he's giving three, and some of them really have to show a lot of emotional gutting. I think one of the best sequences he has in the whole movie is when he's talking to his mother, and his mother has Alzheimer's, and she's saying, "You're a genius, you're just like your father." And then she says his brother's name. And it's like, oh God, the look on his face, where it's like everything kind of has to fall apart all at once. It's really, really well done. I really do love Jeffrey Wright's performance.
It is
I
really
think it, I
good.
think for me, between Jeffrey and Paul, it's a lot closer. But I think Killian again is just doing so much in this that it's not that he, it's like, Jeffrey, Paul kind of neck and neck for me, and then Killian's just up there, So it's kind of that's at least my thoughts on it.
Yeah,
I agree
I would
with
agree with
that.
that. Sterling K. Brown or Downey Jr.? You said Downey Jr. I mean, you said Sterling, right?
I said that they're my two front leads, and I don't know if I can pick between them. I think, oh God, that's tough. It's really tough. It's really tough. Because
Sterling K.
I
Brown
think.
has a really heartbreaking scene in front of the house when he leaves, and he's saying, like, this family will
This man
hate
will kill
you.
you. Yeah.
Or something like that, and like it's really good. Like that, I think that would be a good clip for him. But I do think Robert. Okay, I will say Robert Downey Jr.'s character. It's not one note, but it is only two facets of him. It's being the antagonist, or it's being like the fake, really nice guy who's trying to welcome you into the school. Like there's a lot of depth to his character, but I can totally see like. I don't know if I would necessarily say Sterling K. Brown is lesser of a performance than Robert Downey Jr.
No, I think Robert gets the whole sequence. I think, I mean, I feel like I know a surefire moment for performance is when a character's like world is breaking down around them, and when we get that for Strauss, it's fantastic.
It
He
is
like responds
fantastic.
with pure visceral rage and anger. And
Yeah.
but I do think at the moment I'm probably a little tainted because, like I said, I watched that other Sterling K. Brown movie, and he's
He's
so good in that.
fantastic.
He's so good. He's I think he might be better in that than in American Fiction. Like, so my mind is kind of like taught in those two places, and I'm seeing a lot of both of the
His one
performances.
delivery when he's after the funeral and he's like packing up his car and he's chugging a shooter. His delivery of "I ain't flying the fucking thing" is so funny.
It's so
I keep
good.
thinking about that every time.
It's so good.
I think realistically the
Or
winner
when he's on the
is,
phone
oh man.
and talking about his lover.
Yes.
Where are you going? Here, come over here.
I think realistically the winner is Robert, but I think in terms of performance, I probably like Sterling more.
I
And
think I like Sterling's character more
I
just
say
because
that
the
just
Cliffy's
barely.
way more ridiculous as a character, and he's so fun to watch.
I think Robert, like, He benefits from having one of the best films released, but also he is unrecognizable in the character, and this is his best performance. Whereas Sterling K. Brown, like you said, like you probably thought the other film was even better. So like if Oscar voters
That's
have been
fair.
watching Sterling K. Brown, that might not be his best role. So like that also plays a factor in people choosing for some reason, even if Sterling K. Brown was better than Robert Downey Jr. in this year.
I will say, the one thing I will say is that does imply that the Oscar voters watch any of the movies. And at this
That's
point, I don't
true.
honestly
That's
believe that
true.
sentiment anymore.
What do you mean?
I'm
They
not.
clearly watched Naiad.
They watch Naiad. They love Naiad.
They all decided to get on Netflix one day, get on
They
Netflix
just
Party
they
and
had a
watch
Netflix
Naiad.
watch party. They had a
Yeah.
watch party. They turned on Teleparty and they were like, let's watch Jodie Foster
They all got a
and
Discord.
Annette
Annette
Bening
Bening,
on.
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a hard one, but I do think Robert Downey Jr. has won the most. I mean, he's won everything, right, so far.
I think, yeah,
So.
if any two were locks, it seems like Divine for Holdovers and Robert for Oppenheimer are there.
Yeah,
And pretty much like Oppenheimer, yeah.
even though for me, like that category, both categories are pretty stacked, and like I wouldn't have given both of them the unanimous wins. You know, like
Yeah.
I think I would be interested in seeing other people winning and see how that shakes up, because it's not like a stand, like they stand out, but they're not like the clear winner for me. Like I think everyone has
I mean, it's a
really
good
good
year.
material. It's a good year. Yeah.
Yeah, extremely strong year.
Yeah.
And I think, unless is there anything else you want to say about Oppenheimer? I think that might be the
No,
bench.
that
Yeah.
would.
No.
And how are we ranking the movies, though?
Oh,
All
we
right.
should do that. Yeah.
Let's go. This episode may or may not be brought to you by Audible. I'm not sure. If it is, there will be a link in the description. That's Tyler's job now.
It is
On to the
Jed.
rating. On to the ranking. Number three.
Oh, shit.
Holdovers for me.
Even though it's the funniest movie I've seen in theaters, probably American Fiction.
Holdovers for me as well.
Okay. All right. I think now me and Alex's list is going to end up being identical.
Yeah.
Number two,
Holdovers.
American Fiction.
American Fiction. Yeah.
One.
Number one. Who saw this
Oppenheimer.
coming? Barbie, actually.
I will
Evolve and
fuck off.
Fools. I got you.
I will say all three of these films are pretty high up there. It's not like a big
Oh
gap
yeah.
from like
Oh
two
yeah.
and
Absolutely
three.
not. In my like
Yeah.
ranking of all the movies I've seen this year, the lowest one out of these three is 11.
Is that which is I'm guessing that's American Fiction for you?
But yeah.
Ooh, I kind of wonder where they would fall out of my full count. I like in my head
Oh
it's like I think
God.
American Fiction feels like top five, but I'm like, I've seen a
But
lot
then
of
you
his
actually,
movies
yeah,
last
you're
year. I saw so
yeah,
many
I start
films.
counting and it's like, oh God, that's actually kind of hard to say.
Tyler, is your films just for 2023?
20, yeah.
Okay. 11. Interesting. I want to hear the other 10.
Yeah, well, we have 10 minutes before Zoom kicks us out. Tyler, give us your count here.
I mean, I could tell you the ones that aren't Oscar movies.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, yeah.
My 10th movie of the year is John Wick.
Wow.
Okay,
I heard
interesting.
really good things
Interesting.
about
I
that.
haven't
Okay.
seen any of them aside from the first one. So
I never watched any of them, so.
Holdovers is fuck it, I'll tell you. Holdovers is 9.
Okay.
Okay.
Born Heron is 8.
Okay.
Okay.
Poor Things.
Wow, 7.
Godzilla Minus One is 6.
Okay.
God, that's so good.
Okay.
Zone of Interest is continually moving up. It's 5th.
Oh,
Ooh.
shit.
And then
Okay.
Killers, Past Lives, Spider-Man, Oppenheimer. So just to
Okay.
be clear, that's Killers of the Flower Moon, not the Killers, because
The
we do need
Killers
to
of the
have that
Flower.
distinction. That's that distinction now. Just to...
Well, granted, the distinction is one is killer, this is killers.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah, I mean,
Oh,
damn,
yeah. It's the
crazy year.
killer.
The
Yeah.
killer. Crazy year. Crazy strong
Crazy
year.
year. Yeah.
Now, I can't wait for the Ridley Scott 4-hour Napoleon cut to just sweep and take that number one spot away. Definitely can't wait
You
for
guys
that.
watch Napoleon?
We did. We
Yeah.
did. I
I haven't
like it.
watched
I
it.
think it's a
I
lot
don't.
of fun.
I worked on the film,
I think
so.
it's a, I oh really, yeah. I forgot you worked in the marketing department for that, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
And we had high hopes for it. And it did better than like Killers of the Flower Moon,
Yeah.
but
I really enjoyed
yeah.
Napoleon. I just also know that Ridley Scott's theatrical cut versus his extended cut are wildly different experiences. So I'm just sitting here happily waiting for it to drop on Apple TV to watch it again for
Yeah.
4 hours.
I love Joaquin Phoenix, so
Yeah, well, this is
I
that's I think that's probably my no. I was gonna say
Nope,
it's my
no, it's
favorite.
not.
I was
No,
gonna
it's
say it's
not.
my favorite, and then I
No, it's
remembered
not. Beau
Beau
Is
Is
Afraid.
Afraid. Beau Is Afraid is my favorite Joaquin Phoenix performance.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet. Oh, I need to watch. I need to watch.
It's a
I need.
wild
Why
time.
is Beau Is Afraid? So, do we know why it's not in the conversation? Is that
Oh,
what
it's too
you're...
weird.
I can make
It's
an
too
assumption.
fucking weird.
I can think of one really big
It's
thing
way
that
too
is stopping it
fucking.
from being in there.
It's way too fucking weird of a
Okay.
movie. It's way too like, the
Okay.
shit that happens is like, the only thing I compare movie I can compare it to that the Academy did like is when Mulholland Drive got nominated for Best Director and Best Picture.
Okay.
This the only comparison between the two is that they're very like. This director is the only person who could have made this movie. They're both very that director. This is very Ari
Okay.
Aster, like, and
I
it's.
love Ari Aster, so like
You're gonna have an
I
Oh, you're gonna have a great
wanted
time with it. If you also already like him,
him.
if
Yeah.
you already like him, you're gonna
I
have a fun
do.
time with it.
I mean, I love him. I love him and Joaquin Phoenix, so I'm sure I'll like it.
Alex, I think you knew this, but I still can't believe I saw. I went to Bo's Afraid like 2 weeks before it premiered. And it was during the Q&A with Scorsese and Ari Aster. And I was like 2 feet away from them. It was amazing.
Oh, I don't think I
That's
knew
fun.
that.
Yeah,
What?
it was amazing.
That's insane.
Yeah,
That's insane.
Scorsese loves Aster. It's so funny.
Yeah, I mean, damn fair. This movie, I this is unfortunately this isn't the Beau Is Afraid episode, but I absolutely love that movie to
We
death.
could
That's
do
my
that
movie's.
soon.
You
Because we're
son of a.
back.
Ah, Tyler.
Forever and ever and ever and
And
ever
if you're still
eleven.
here, if you ever were here, follow us at 321binge on Twitter. Fuck you, I'm not calling it X.
Yeah, I'm never calling it X. I can't
No.
wait to
At this
believe that.
point, follow me on Twitter at Tyler Zucker because that's a now dead account probably. Nobody has the
It's.
account login.
I don't know if Tati has the account login for the other one at this point. I mean, I can't believe it. Somebody who like subscribed to notifications and forgot about it after the 8 months that we've been gone
They're
is
gonna
gonna
be
have
like,
the
what the hell?
strangest morning
Yeah.
whenever you upload this, Tyler.
Yeah.
It'll be a very strange experience for them. We're
But
back.
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we're back. Review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever the hell you're listening to. I don't know, find a way to contact us to know that you're listening, or if we've just been doing this by inside someone's basement and no one's listening.
And that's the binge. Thank you guys. I can't believe I'm back.
Yeah,
You
next
fucking son
week.
of a bitch.
Do we know if it's next week? Not exactly. We're trying to do four of these before the actual Oscars
At some point,
and
here's the guarantee.
possibly one after as like a recap, but we'll figure it out.
Here's the, what do you mean a fucking episode after? What the hell are you talking about,
What do you
Tyler?
mean? The schedule says it.
Tyler, I didn't I
They're
never
scheduled for 6 hours today.
Yeah, live stream, come on.
He's actually constrained right now. Like, he has handcuffs
He
on.
can't leave
Yeah.
that room.
I
He
can't
cannot
leave
leave.
this room until I finish recording all the episodes.
Until he
Every
finishes watching Twin
episode.
Peaks, right?
Until I finish watching Twin Peaks.
So
If
funny.
you do get in contact with me, please help me. This is not a bit. I am being held. I'm being held here against my will. Tyler, read us out. They're
Yeah,
forcing me to
join
watch
us
these
next week
movies.
or 2 weeks or whenever we get the next episode in. Hopefully before we're definitely doing it before the Oscars, but it's coming soon. Either way,
Yes.
we're back.